All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Welcome to a brand new episode of the Real Life Podcast, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
Welcome to Real Life, everyone. What is going on right now?
I think that I'm in love with Matthew Kachuk.
Are you guys all drunk?
Episode 303 of the Real Life Podcast. I'm Tyler Remchuk, and I am back from my vacation. I'm here with Wanye and Jay Bagmilk. We'll explain why he's not here in just a second. Chalmers didn't respond in the group chat, so things are back to normal around Real Life, a random assortment of the usual hosts here. Before we get going, this podcast is brought to you by the HGA Group. When your business wants to take that next step, who do you call? The HGA Group. You've heard me say it a million times now. Find them out. Find them, hgagroup.com. How are things while I was gone? Everything run normally? What did you guys talk about?
Things were amazing and seamless while you were gone, if I must be fully honest.
It was that different. There was like 4% of the usual tension. Maybe we need that tension to move ourselves forward, your M-check. Liam was so nice and agreeable. No matter where we took the conversation, he was just happy to sit there and see where it went. It was on your M-Chuckian.
Things you don't want to hear when you come back from vacation. Things went smoothly and there was less tension. So in terms of job security, alarming, but happy to hear Liam is a competent.
At one point I threw to him and I was like, your M-check would never let us talk about that. He said all nice, like, well, we'll just see where it goes then, or however he talks. And I was like, this is adorable.
he's
a really nice guy, though.
Actually, he's really a beauty.
Yeah. He texted you?
He texted me, and he was like, do you have any ideas for what I could do for topics for the show today while I was on vacation? And I was like, just like shoot the shit, throw out some Oilers stuff. And he goes, they really don't like when I bring up Oilers stuff. And I was like, yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all, buddy.
Well, everything was going so poorly. Everybody was so mad about Duncan Keith and shit. And we were trying to have like happy times. It was just like, oh, Duncan Keith, though. And I don't know, Liam. I don't know.
You give him more of like an Irish or Scottish
accent. What is it? Is he British?
He's British, yeah.
British. Like what part of England?
I don't know.
He told us.
Oh, really?
He told us as part of his football team. I can't remember. I can't remember the place. Oh, it's near Manchester, I think.
That makes sense.
Does that sound right to you?
You think I'd know that too, but no.
I think everything's near Manchester, England.
Pretty small country. Not a lot going on there, right?
We should have really asked Liam all these questions. Let's just talk about him without him here. How'd he get here?
His family just moved here. Really? I want to say he was like 12, around that range. And then he came here, fell in love with hockey, and now he does this stuff. I met him at radio school. We were in the same semester of radio school. And then we both started covering the Sherwood Park Crusaders together. And then he scouts for the Crusaders now. So he's worked his way up there, and I've stayed in the blogging world.
Really? What are you up to these days?
You know, podcasts. I actually spent a big chunk of this afternoon and morning putting together stuff for a new John Scott show we're launching, which is very exciting. It's going to be really cool.
What's that about?
It's basically John Scott in collaboration with HockeyFights.com. And it's going to be John talking to fighters about nothing else but fighting. So like breaking down scraps they've had and like talking about mindset going into fights and all that. I think it'll be like a perfect thing for hockey fans in the summer when like you want a little bit of hockey, but like lighthearted, right? Like on August 15th, no one wants to sit there and be like, well, what could my favorite team do for their second power play unit? As much as I would like for people to want
to. Let's break down the Keith trade again.
Yeah, for a ninth time or 90th time. But the John Scott one, I think it'll be like nice hockey content. You'll get to hear some voices maybe you haven't heard a lot of. There's a couple of former Oilers in the first four episodes as well, and a couple of really, really recognizable enforcers. So it should be a really cool show. It's a YouTube show. So it's going out on either our YouTube or the Drop in the Gloves Hockey Fights YouTube. One of the two. But
Hockey Fights YouTube.
Hockey
Fights
YouTube.
Does it feature former Oiler enforcer Mike Bishai?
No, it does not feature Mike Bishai. It features someone who once punched Radetis Ivanenas very, very hard in what I believe was a preseason game. And yep. they talk about it in his episode as well. And McIntyre's sort of reaction to the thing is a very interesting. Like I'm hyping it up now a little bit, but it's going to be a really, really good show. So anyways, while I was gone, a bunch of shit happened. Liam handled this podcast. Oh, look, Bagnook's here. He was on hold with TELUS. Nothing bad was happening. I made it sound like there was something bad that could potentially happen with Bag Milk. That is absolutely not the case. His internet should be fixed now, so he's good to go. What's up, Bag Milk?
Here I am. I did it. Only 33 minutes on hold.
That's not bad these
days.
That's
pretty good, yeah.
I was actually, you know what? I thought I was going to miss the whole thing, to be honest.
I have some travel coming up, and I called last week with a question, and you have the option to get a call back.
Yeah,
I got the call back 5 days later.
What?
That's excessive.
I forgot what I was even asking about.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, 33 minutes. Not too bad. I'll take that.
Okay. Anyways, we were talking before you got in here about how smoothly things went while I was gone. Do you agree with that? Things went well?
I'll tell you. New Tylers, both on ON Radio and here on Real Life. Fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sleep tonight because I think I'm getting replaced.
Are you feeling threatened?
You're on way better shows than these, your M-Chuck. Don't worry about that.
After you guys were complimenting Liam today, once again in the group chat, I texted him and I was like, hey, buddy, by the way, you could leave the group chat now. Like, enough.
Oh, salty, your M-Chuck.
Why did you say that? Whoa. You are territorial.
Yeah, he's going to piss on all of us.
He doesn't need it all. He doesn't need to be in the group chat anymore. He's not.
You know what your M-Chuck's doing right now? He's tidying up loose ends right now.
Yeah.
Because someone's going to throw something to the group, and then your M-Chuck's going to ignore it. And Liam's going to be like, I'll help with that. And then your M-Chuck's going to be like, oh, no, you don't. He's going to go over to his house and regulate.
Yeah, he's digging a Liam-sized hole somewhere in the city.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I'm happy things went well. It's nice to know that. I did see there was a couple of tweets, like, a few people I saw tweeted Real Life and were like, God, I forgot how good it is when things are allowed to go off the rails and your M-Chuck's not there. And a couple people were like, Oh, sorry about that.
That was me, your M-Chuck. I was just letting off some steam.
There were some people who were like, I forget how off the rails this thing can truly get.
Yeah, Liam just let us go. And also on ON Radio, I would say that was the first show without you, the emergency show on Free Agency Day. Free Agency Day.
That wasn't the first one without me. There was one before that.
Well, there was one that was almost 2 hours and it was a lot of fun.
I was on the free agency when I came back.
No, oh yeah. That was the other thing. That. Liam let us go way late and we were like, whoa, Liam, what's up with that? He's like, I don't know. We were having a good time. And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Your
Liam
definitely not Tyler. You're M-Chuck.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Definitely. Great feel threatened.
Yeah. New Tyler got it done.
What was the most, I'm looking at the episodes here. Like you went an hour 25 once, but other than that, you didn't go.
There were some clips. There was some government.
There was some editing.
Alerted.
Yeah. There's a little bit of whoopsies.
Yeah. That seems to happen though. Anyways, what was the most off the rails thing you guys talked about?
I don't remember.
I think it was when you so came in. Everybody was so excited to see you. We were like telling Liam he was doing such a good job that you pop in three sheets to the wind. And we're all like, yay, the guy we like. And then Liam was like, damn, I'm temporary. And then you're like, get out of the group chat, you clown.
Yeah.
The all
I thought it was hilarious though. Did you guys
hit. Oh what?
Did you guys already talk about how Liam was sending us the link for the Zoom way in advance?
Yeah,
it was like he about? Was getting shit done. And then here this morning, the first time ever, I should add, Tyler sent us the link way early. So there's some definite. Yeah. There's
feeling. Tyler's feeling it. He's feeling it. Someone's the pressure on his building. Heels. Yes,
feeling the heat. I've never really done that. I'm always just like, yeah, right before you start the Zoom call, you fire out the link. But Liam, like, yeah, he was scheduling that shit like far in advance. Man, Liam,
I mean, our producer farm system is very strong right now.
And bench steps, bench strength.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of bench strength.
Anyways, I was just going to go through like everything I missed because I'm kind of like reading the episode descriptions here. And the first episode I missed was about Adam Larson jumping ship, no longer member of the Oilers. The all abs team took a big hit. That's going to be one of the bigger takeaways from this offseason for me. Like the additions the Oilers made were exciting, but like some of the losses they have, like I don't mean to be a downer, but like it stings. Like I'm going to miss having Adam Larson around Edmonton.
I'm glad you're most worried about the all abs team because I know that we too are very concerned about what's going on around here. We lost Tippett or Tippett.
Tippett. He might have abs.
Tippett's ripped.
I'm working on an article for Gregor right now. We lost Klefbom and Larson. Come on. That's devastating. Broberg better be doing sit-ups right now.
Yeah, he is our only hope.
But the strategy is to take their salaries, add them together, and give it to Nurse till the year 3000. So that's great.
Well, defensemen are getting paid.
Goom! So my God.
I wasn't here for last episode. I hate to bring up the subject again, but I'm interested to hear your perceived, what you guys think of the CC signing.
Oh, if it's about the Oilers, I guarantee we didn't talk about it.
Yeah, we haven't really gotten to any of those topics.
But yeah, I want to know what your thoughts are. What are your takes on that trade or on that signing? Sorry.
So when you look around the NHL, there was like this weird run on like grossly overpaying very average defensemen. Like you look at who got signed. The David Savard deal actually might have been an okay deal, but like Alex Goligoski got $5 million for a year. Montour 3.5 by 3. Forbert 3 by 3. Like Mike Riley got 3 by 3. It was like a weird little run. And like, that's what NHL GMs this offseason decided they were going to splurge on. And even considering that, the Oilers still found a way to pay more than everyone else paid for like their average third pairing defenseman, giving Cody Ceci 4 years by 3.25. So I didn't hate the dollar amount, but no other team really had to go that high in dollars and that long in term. And I think he's a fine third pairing D-man. He had a good year in Pittsburgh, but like, man, Ken Holland overpaid again.
What do you think about CCJ?
Yeah, I don't. He's a guy who has underperformed and then got put into a role where he was insulated and excelled. So he went from analytics nightmare to analytics darling. And now we're signing this big ticket thinking this is our replacement for Adam Larson, when they probably should have signed like Hankapa, who signed for like $1.5 million or whatever in Dallas. Yeah. Like there was some cheaper signings to be had. So I don't know. I just if that is the reaction or the answer to losing Larson, then I'm not a large fan of this.
It's I would say that the Oilers defense in general is going to be an interesting gamble for Ken Holland.
And then you look at Winnipeg. Winnipeg's blue line just got like unreal. Like they just went big on it. I'm just like, why aren't we in on some of these discussions, or why aren't we trying to create those situations? Well, and I'm not trying to slight Ken Holland yet. I'm still going to stay positive, but I just see all this stuff. And then we signed CeCe.
And especially, I think what really hurt the Oilers is like, you talked about Winnipeg, Jay, and like they have Morrissey, Pionk, DeMello, Logan Stanley. Like they had a few nice pieces there. And then they had the draft pick capital to go out and acquire Nate Schmidt and acquire Brendan Dillon. And the Oilers didn't have the draft pick capital, so they had to go free agent shopping, right? Or they spent some of their draft pick capital on Duncan Keith. So they had to go free agent shopping. And when you go to free agency, like you almost know that you're, you know, 9 times out of 10, you have to overpay for the guy. And they overpaid for Cody Ceci. Like even if for the next 2 seasons, he's like a decent fourth defenseman or fifth defenseman, like, 4 years for that guy. No, he's 27. So maybe he'll prove me wrong. And maybe Keith will prove me wrong. And I really hope I'm wrong on like a lot of fronts right now when it comes to the Edmonton Oilers. But
that's never a good sign. You're usually not wrong.
I'm bullish on Keith. We're just sour at what
and that's fair.
It's just CC I don't get. I'm pumped now. Granted, I don't like trading Ethan Bear, but I am excited about Warren Fogle.
The Oilers forward group and is like really good. The Oilers forward group is really, really good. Like if you have McLeod or Holloway or both in the lineup, or you go out and get another left winger in free agency with like the million and change you have left, this forward group is going to be great. And this Oilers team and the system Dave Tippett has, over the last couple of seasons, they've been great at protecting leads. And I think what we're going to find out here is, were they great at protecting leads because of the cast they had on that blue line? Or were they great at protecting leads because the style Dave Tippett has the team play, right? Like if the Oilers can go
play solid
and Mike Smith played great, and goaltending is going to be huge too, and their goaltending didn't get any better. So
like, it's concerning as well. Why not sign Ryan Murray?
They tried.
You had no money.
But we signed Cody Ceci. We had money.
See, and that's where I don't like the strategy from Holland of like, you sign CC, so you flip Bear, and then your right side's fine, but on your left side, you probably still need one more lefty. Whereas if you would have just gone out and like signed Derek Forbert for 3x3 or signed Ryan Murray for a couple of years and paid a little bit more than what he eventually went to Colorado for, you could have kept Bear on the right side and gone out and gotten your Larson replacement to just be a lefty. And things could have maybe worked out. You would have had to go spend, you know, $3 million on a forward instead of getting and signing Warren Fogle. But that could have also been done. Like, it's not the way I would have done it. Ken Holland's clearly going a different route with this team. He clearly wants to surround McDavid, Draisaitl, and all them with like some older veteran options. And this is
like, are they thinking like Broberg can make the step?
No, I think we're going to get. If we're talking about things that Ken Holland will still do this offseason, like, I don't think we're getting a goalie trade. That's probably out of the picture. I think we'll get two lefties added, a left winger and a left defenseman, and they'll both come in around $1 million, and that's how they'll spend the rest of their money.
It's going to be Slater Cuckoo or something like that, you know? Well, Yamo still needs a contract also.
Yamo will be cheap though, right?
Yeah, I was kind of crunching the numbers, and if Yamamoto's $2 million, and Fogle's like 750, or sorry, not Fogle, Benson is like 750K, and you bury Turris, you have like $2.35 million to spend on a defenseman and a winger. So it's...
And you could bury Koskinen and unlock $1 million.
I think burying Koskinen and replacing him with Stalock would save you like 300K or 400K.
I think this is just, for me, it's the problem of overpaying a guy by 200 grand, 300 grand, 400 grand, and all of those in aggregate are adding up to the Ryan Murray we missed, as an example. Like, it's a little bit frustrating, but...
Well, this is where I think there's a larger conversation to be had, because, like, what I get upset is you look at Boston. Boston has really bolstered their lineup, and it's all on, like, cheap fucking deals. And we got to... If you really want parity in the league, it's not fair that a team like the Oilers or something Northern or something like that has to overpay to attract guys. It's such bullshit. It drives me crazy.
But that's kind of life, right?
Have to overpay though.
Yeah. And that's kind of life. But the thing that they do is they embrace it by allowing no trade, no movement, none of that. Player movement is good for the game. And it's also good for the fans.
It is. Like, I'm not going to argue with you
on the way out.
What's that?
Unless you get some heartbreak on the way out when somebody leaves, you know?
Yeah.
Of course.
Think, like, you got to find guys that want to be in your market, right? There are some guys who would hate to go to an Arizona. They'd be like, fuck that. I want to play in like a good hockey market. And there's some guys who would look at an Edmonton or a Boston, and they might look at Edmonton and Winnipeg and be like, I'm not playing where it's cold. Whereas Zach Hyman is clearly okay with playing where it's cold, right? It does limit your shopping options.
Is that because we're the only ones? His request was to make $40 million.
Yeah.
Were we the only ones lining up to answer that request?
Maybe.
And this is not a slight against Zach. I am excited that Zach Hyman's an Oiler.
I love that I come back on the pod and we get 15 minutes of like good nerdy hockey talk. That makes me feel good.
Well, I just, these are just things that I've been thinking about. We need to discuss. I just kind of like, I'm pumped about our forwards. I think Fogel is going to surprise us. Cause it's like,
he's a big boy.
Him and Bear are in a similar situation. Like he was boxed out in Carolina cause their top six is so good.
Yeah.
So he hasn't gotten, and his time to get his chance is still a little ways away. So like that to me, like getting him, and even if it costing Bear, I'm actually not too upset. Like I just loved Ethan Bear as an Oiler. That's why I'm sad to see him go. But I'm really excited about the upside of Warren Fogel.
I'm excited about Fogel too. The only thing that makes me nervous is he probably won't be playing next to a Jordan Staal here in Edmonton.
He's playing with Ryan McLeod or Derek Ryan or something, right? Unless they flip him to the right side and move him up or whatever.
Sign another left C and he can be playing with Nuge. Or left center. Yeah, he can play with Nuge or left wing, God.
If you were to get Slater Cuckoo at league minimum, it would give you like whatever. And you bury Koskinen for Stalock, it would give you like just under $2 million. If that's enough to get you Thomas Tatar, oh boy, I'm all over that. Because then I think you can split everybody up and go McDavid, Dreisaitl, Nugent Hopkins, Derek Ryan down the middle, or McLeod down the middle, and your wings are like totally set. Like it would be a really, really good looking forward group, even better looking than it is now. And I love the way it looks right now. So there's still a little bit of wiggle room here, but I'm not expecting like a big splash. Quickly on Cody Ceci, one of the things I heard, it was either from Ken Holland or someone else, where they said Ceci's agent reached out to Holland and said that that he wanted to play in Edmonton and like he thought it was such a great fit. And there was a little part of me that went, did he think he was a great fit in Edmonton, or did his agent go, hey Cody, Ken Holland's gonna overpay the fuck out of you, he's that kind of guy? Like did they just kind of spot that as like there's a GM that'll give us the extra year if we ask for it?
No, well, that's also an agent's job, right? They comb the league to see who actually needs their player.
Yeah,
I would say that grinds them. His agent probably made that same call several times, you know, hey, you'd be a great fit for Cody Ceci. You're the only team for him. And he did that 30 times, you know?
Yeah. He wants to be a member of the Colorado Avalanche. Oh, you know,
he wants the third year.
Or the fourth. Year
he believes in what we're doing.
He wants the third year.
Man. I bought in fully when Belanger wanted that extra year. I thought he was the guy we needed.
We were talking about the gambles that Ken Holland made, and I'm going to tie this into gambling for just like 20 seconds here, courtesy of our friends at oddshark.com. Everything you need to make the sharp play, whether it's baseball, hockey, football, oddshark.com. Gambling on the Oilers this year, take the fucking over every single game. This team is going to win a lot of like 5-3, 6-4, 6-3 hockey games. Like Mike Smith had a great year. Could he do it again? Yeah. Absolutely. But when I look at the blue line in front of him and a combination of Smith and Koskinen and the offense that the Oilers should consistently bring with their 12 forwards looking the way they are, over. Hit that over.
To me, the wild card on defense is Ethan Bear, because he's gone. I miss you. Evan Bouchard. How good can he be? Can he move himself from the three hole up in the lineup quicker than expected? Because that would probably solve a lot of our problems.
Yeah. Well, and the thing I like actually is hold on, maybe not rush, hold on to that cap space or in that potential to create more and save it for like a trade in November.
But the problem is you're past that point already. And I'm sure
November is in 4 months.
No, I mean like, and I'm sure original Puzar can correct me on this because he often does fix me whenever I say something wrong, but with LTIR space, I don't think it adds up the same way normal space does.
We're not talking about LTIR again. We got Ken Holland. Ken Holland will hear it, and then he'll go into his thing again. It's a whole thing.
But we're gonna put
Klefbom on LTIR at the start of the season, right? We're doing it the right way.
I don't think so. I don't think they have room for that.
So we can't bury Turris now. He has to.
Let me look. I was
had a tweet about the Oilers situation a while ago.
Yeah, anything we can unlock, we should delay for and then try to acquire later in the season when there's a team that's going off the rails. Maybe there's a trade to be had.
So if the Oilers were to carry Klefbom on their roster and then roll with like the minimum amount of forwards and the minimum amount, like if they just carried the literal minimum roster here, Bury Turris, that's pretty much all you can do. You only have like, they might be able to actually. Okay. Maybe I'm wrong.
Then you get the full benefit of the contract, right? If you can put him on at the start of the season, right?
So maybe when it comes a guy like Slater Cuckoo, you have to do, or whoever the left winger is, you have to do what the Blues did with Hoffman, right? Where they PTO'd him, hashtag PTO everyone. And then after you can put Klefbom on, then you sign him after the season starts. Yeah, maybe they can make that work.
I found the Puckpedia tweet. So with Fogel signed at 275, so they are, let's go Oilers. Well, that's the hashtag, are 420K over the cap with 21 players on the roster. They can exceed the cap by 4.17 with Klefbom on LTIR, leaving them approximately 3.75 million in effective space with Yamamoto still to sign.
See, so that makes it sound like they can't, unless they start burying guys and tossing more options in the minors and doing all that, because you have to be cap compliant on day one, but I think you can carry like a fringe roster. So it depends how many guys are waiver exempt as well. I don't know. It's complicated as fuck. I should probably just DM Hart from Puckpedia and get an answer to this.
We should have him on the pod and just grill him about all the scenarios.
There's way too much math in this for me. And Tyler, frankly, there's too much math in this for you too, buddy.
Oh, yeah. I'm way out of it. I'm like the GIF. I'm the GIF of Alan from The Hangover when he's like counting the cards and all the numbers are going through his head, except none of them make any sense. Like it just
everything's just going over your head.
Yeah. We're going to quickly give some love to our friends at Twig and Berries. They got their new store set up in St. Albert and I saw some pictures of it. It's fucking nice. Like it is crispy. It is clean in there, but I would not expect anything less because everything they make, from their shirts to their very own line of Nutsack underwear, their very own line of Twig and Berries underwear as well, it is all crisp as hell. Promo code NATION15 gets you 15% off and free shipping. And also, like the good cheap Ukrainian I am, they have a sales section on their website. And I'm a sucker for a good sales section on a website.
Who is Twig and Berries?
Did you just self-loathe your Amtrak and call yourself a racial term?
I mean, that's like a stereo. I'm pretty sure, though, here's what I like, because people always bring that up. And I was like, oh, Ukrainians are cheap. I'm pretty sure every culture is like known for being cheap. Like,
I'm cheap.
And not a basketball player. All around the world, they blow money on everything.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll always hear like, Italians are so cheap with the wallet. And it's like, you know, I feel like every culture has that said about them.
What are you like at the lunchroom at the United Nations? Like, how do you just keep bumping into other groups? Like, boy, those Lithuanians, like they're all one table in your mind.
I don't know. All right.
Tyler, I am not Ukrainian and I am very cheap. So maybe
that's what I mean. I just feel like everyone likes saving money, but it always gets thrown into like a cultural thing. Like, oh, that culture is so cheap. And it's like,
well, I also love my petahe though, Tyler.
I got it. People from Dubai. They're not cheap.
Yeah, that's...
They're ballers.
Mm-hmm.
Big towers. There you go, your check. People from Dubai.
You know who I can't imagine is cheap, Tyler? Steph Curry. He just signed a $200 million four-year deal today.
And he's got all that Under Armour money. Basketball.
There was another one I saw. I want to talk to Chalmers about. Where was this? Hold on. This was preposterous. Those
basketball contracts are insane.
They are
Chris Paul declined his $44.2 million option and elected to become an unrestricted free agent.
And then he signed
$44.2 million. He's like, nope, bye.
But then he went on to sign like a deal.
A four-year deal or something for $170 million or something crazy.
Yeah, like it's insane.
Outrageous. And
he's old as fuck. That'd be like if the Oilers gave Chris Paul's unreal. He's a Hall of Famer. So maybe it's like comparable to the Oilers going to like Duncan Keith and being like four-year deal at whatever, but Chris Paul's still fucking good. So
is it like how does this work? Like, 4 by 9.5?
Yeah.
If there's no fans in the seats, like how the hell is it all just escrow?
The NBA's had fans in the seats for a long time. All season, all season. Yeah. They don't give a shit.
They did the bubble, and then last year they just did full capacity.
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah, like I
Delta
I think,
baby.
Yeah. Delta season.
Delta force.
But the NBA offseason's been good. Not that we really care about that. Wanya, you talked about Dubai, and I saw like a thing on Instagram that Dubai was like finding ways to create rain to deal with their droughts. Like they were like shooting like electro blah 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 into the sky to like force it to rain. That seems like, I'm sure they've done their research, but that seems like a weird butterfly effect thing where like, you know, maybe making
that seems
it rain
to me like don't make it rain with no lightning. Next thing you know, hamburgers eat people. right? Well, like, I wouldn't be fucking with nature quite to that extent. Thank you.
Don't play God.
Yeah, does that like defer where like that just pushes their drought further away? And all of a sudden now like the countries across the Gulf are in a drought because Dubai just sucked all the moisture or what was left out of the air?
I've heard of like them deferring storms. Like when the Olympics were in Beijing, they took planes up in the atmosphere, remember, and cleared out all the clouds so it couldn't rain. Really? But I don't know what the inverse of that looks like.
Yeah.
Like, how do you create moisture where there's none with electricity? I don't get it. The water vapor naturally in the air, maybe?
I don't know. I'm not.
You know, they figured it out, though, your end, Chuck. They figured it out in Dubai. They just shot a bunch of money into the sky. It went, rain, bitch.
Yeah. It's just money raining. Yeah. Literally, it's just money raining.
Yeah.
Maybe if we make it rain money, the crops will grow. When we were in Dubai, your M-Trek, we were going around, like, having meetings with people and stuff. And I just kept asking, like, how is all of this possible? How is all of this possible? And the consensus in Dubai was just like, oh. Like, how can you just build skyscrapers in every direction? Oh. Very strange. Very weird place.
Yeah.
When were you in Dubai?
Jay and I went to Dubai. What year is that, Jay? 2017?
2015.
Trying to, start like a cricket nation or something? What are the popular sports in Dubai?
The government. Yeah, we went on a creative economy trade mission.
Yep. Basically, we wanted to see Dubai. And they were like, you can go here, here, and here if you go on this thing. Yep. But it was really weird. It's a very weird place. Like, there are Ferrari police cars and shit there.
Yeah.
Really? That's not just memes I've seen.
Oh, man. It's wild there. It is wild. Every car is exotic.
Mm-hmm.
You go and everything is just, you go for a beer in your hotel and a beer, like a Heineken's like $25.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's. Ooh.
What currency do they use?
We saw a mall that makes Westminster Mall look like a shed. Legit. Yeah. The mall of Dubai, I'm like, Westminster Mall. Garbage.
When skiing inside a mall.
Yeah, when skiing inside the mall, it was like 45 degrees out. There's something ain't right about that.
You went skiing inside a mall?
Yeah.
Think about the amount of AC required to make a ski hill inside a mall.
Yeah. It ain't right.
It's wild.
They might as well just blast a laser at the ozone layer, you know?
I saw the thickest, plushest carpet I've ever seen in my life, your M-Check. It was like walking on a fairway of a golf course.
Oh, that's
like
really
you nice. Sunk down. It was so plush. And I was like, holy crap. The tallest building in the world didn't impress me for shit. But 2-inch underlay, I was like, whoa.
25 UAE dirhams is about 850 Canadian. So the Heineken price was probably, you know, pretty close to on par.
No, it was 25 Canadian.
Oh, wow. So like your bill was like $73 in dirhams.
It was like 100 dirhams or 80 dirhams of beer at the time. And it was, I might be over exaggerating a hair. I think it was about 80 dirhams of beer. And at that time it was like 5-1, the conversion.
Yeah, they ain't playing. Yeah. They ain't playing in
Dubai. Yeah, it was expensive lifestyle.
Playing too much.
Oh, yeah.
I just pulled up some average prices in Dubai. You can get a pint of domestic draft for 45 dirhams.
All the bars are only in hotels because they're only for foreigners.
Yeah, it's because culturally they don't drink, right? So they have to put the rules in hotels. That makes sense. But if you work for the Emirates, you everything's 50% off.
Just everything?
Like everything. So they go out and eat everything. Like everything is 50% off if you work for the flag carrier airline.
What?
Yeah. Because I met someone I knew someone worked for Emirates. So I went and met with them down there and she was telling me that. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's crazy. Because it's so expensive. Right. Yeah. So they get all these people to come and work for them. They can't pay them $9 billion a year to be a flight attendant or a pilot. So they do this to give them an affordable cost of living.
So I'm on a website that is a cost of living estimator based on where you are and which country you want to go to. So I've got Edmonton loaded up in here, right? And I've got Dubai loaded up. So it says, and you guys have been there, so chime in. Dubai is, and let me get through it because it's interesting. Dubai is 12.94% less expensive in terms of your day-to-day, but rent is 60% higher than at Edmonton. Does that sound right?
Well, what is your day-to-day include?
Like they've just got costs here. So like you, if you want to go to a restaurant kind of thing, like a, an inexpensive meal, how much is a cappuccino, stuff like that.
There's a Tim Hortons in Dubai Mall. I remember that much. The thing that's interesting is so their weekends are shifted. So they're not Monday to Friday. They're Sunday. No, they're Tuesday to Saturday, I think.
Yeah, Tuesday.
Like that's kind of how their weeks shape up. They're just one day different. So the big thing in Dubai is Sunday brunch. So if you're looking to go party, you go to these like hotel and they have these crazy wild spreads. Mm-hmm. You pay 9 billion dirhams and it is a full and all you can drink. And it is a full on like 5-star food experience / like university level intoxication party. Mm. Smashed like together.
Tea with the queen meets shotgunning beers in a frat.
Yeah. Keg stands. It's shotgunning a beer with the queen.
Yeah, I like
shotgunning
that.
A beer with the queen.
Yeah. That could be the title of this week's episode, Shotgunning a Beer with the Queen.
The hotel we stayed at, your Amchuck, you know how the continental breakfast always suck at hotels? It's like a handful of Fruit Loops and a punch in the face. There, it was like super, super nice. And there was smoked salmon. And I couldn't get over the fact it was free. And I was like, I can eat this every morning. And the waiter's like, certainly, sir. I'm like, every morning I can come eat smoked salmon. He's like, of course. And by like day three, they're like, more smoked salmon, sir? Like I was a giant bear. And they just brought me salmon. I was like, yes, Dubai. We're all warlords here together.
Now all I'm thinking of is going to like a Super 8 in some small town and they throw Fruit Loops at you and punch you in the dick and are like, yeah, I'm like,
where's my
asshole.
Smoked salmon? Get out of this Motel 8.
Little tiny boxes and room temperature orange juice.
I stayed at a hotel in Valemont on my drive back from my vacation. Not a lot going on in Valemont, tell you that for free. But they had a really nice pizza place. And the hotel continental breakfast was like one of those snack packs of yogurt and like pre-cut apple slices in a bag. And like, that's what I got for my breakfast.
I
was
like, when I checked into a hotel and they're like,
that's
oh, the breakfast
in Valemont.
When I check into a hotel, they're like, oh, breakfast starts. I'm like, don't even tell me the time. There's a 0.0% chance I'm going to eat this shit.
One of my favorite things about those like hotel breakfasts that are available is, hey, Jay, well, Tyler, too, like when we go down to Calgary and seeing people roll into the breakfast the next morning before we jump on the bus is my favorite shit ever.
More dead than alive.
Oh, man. They're just corpses everywhere.
The
I was a corpse on the trip to Calgary. Like I was hurting. I was a hurting unit, but I wouldn't have it any other way. And if you come on one of our nation vacations, that is a guarantee that you will see drunk your Remchuk at least once, and then also violently hung over your Remchuk also once on the same trip. It's written in the contract.
Depending where we go, slightly poorer your Remchuk also.
Oh, yes.
Like when we went to Vegas and I was like, this is my gambling budget for the week. And it was night one. I was like, son of a bitch, got to find an ATM. I'm already.
Yeah, you either don't gamble or you don't set a budget. Like,
yep.
Yeah,
that's you got to roll with it, man. Yeah. Or just be like, I saw you win the 50-50.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or if you're down on cash, you just reach in your pocket, slap down a slab of smoked salmon and barter with the guy next to you at the table. You say, what's that worth to you? $5, $10? You're back in the game.
Marina, say bag nook.
I just, there's this one point when we were in Vegas, we were just in like the casino area waiting for something at New York. And I was sitting with you at a machine and you pumped in like, I don't know, $40. And it was just like, gone. And I just laughed at you and you're like, oh, well. And you just made your way.
Tough break.
Speaking of the Cowboy, though, not only did he win the 51-49 or whatever they call it there, he also, that son of a bitch, he also won $800 in a slot machine like immediately after signing.
Moments after.
Check.
Yeah. Ink was still drying on his giant check.
He's on a rack.
Smacks a BLT or a slot machine out of the park.
Yeah. God bless him.
That's good shit. With all that money, if I had 51-49 money like the Towel Boy, I would never cook a meal for myself again. I would exclusively order from DoorDash, where you can use the promo code REALLIFEDD on the app DoorDash, 25% off, no delivery fee on your first order when you use REALLIFEDD. That's a good code. That's a good deal. DoorDash is a good app. Can you get Oodle Noodle on there?
Yeah, not only that,
yes, you can.
Code Yaremchuk lifetime 5149, it will preload a lifetime of orders into it for you for a mere $48,000 US. That's $52,000 worth of value for $48,000 US.
Real life DD. Mm-hmm. Real life DD. Shout out to our new friends at DoorDash, by the way. Hope you guys have been having fun with that.
Oh yeah, I got a Donair DoorDash date coming up here right away.
Damn right.
Oh man, I haven't had a Donair you know what I did? I tried a Donair place in my hood like that. It was a little far, and we know Donairs don't travel well. My last Donair was a horrible experience, and I don't blame the place. I blame my not.
You created the situation.
I did. So I need a fresh one to replace the memory.
Yeah. I can't. It's not the Donair's fault. That's right. You got to do that ASAP. Mm-hmm. Only good vibes.
Only good vibes. Yeah.
Can be sent to Donair's way.
The sandwich I tried the other day, novelty sandwich, was the chicken sandwich at A&W that they're hawking.
Oh.
The new Nashville hot chicken sandwich.
Okay.
With giant pickles on it. You've seen the ads, surely.
Yep.
The nice A&W, course. Man. They're going off after the Popeye chicken sandwich, obviously. They've been schooled. It's
That's
pretty
been
delicious.
The big flavor of the year.
But this Airbnb, this A&W sandwich is actually quite delicious. Take it to an Airbnb.
Yeah, if you want the ultimate chicken sandwich and support an amazing local chain, go and get the chicken sandwich at Northern Chicken.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Mm, yep.
Have you had it? Is. Yeah.
I've had it. I've only had it once, and I still think about it from time to time.
It's good.
It's sauce. Good. The sauce and the bun. Like, it is just.
Yeah, and the size of chicken. Like, it's a giant. Yeah, it's good. It's good. It's good eats.
The chicken to bread ratio is perfect.
Yeah. That is actually a really, really good restaurant, Northern Chicken. Like, I know we're biased, obviously, because we work with them, but like product quality, you know, sometimes you'll go to a city and try food that's highly recommended. And you're like, why can't we have this at home? It doesn't seem that complicated. Northern Chicken's that level of delicious, I think.
Absolutely.
No, I'm a big fan. And they're fucking Nashville, like hot. Like, they're, what the hell is it? Like, WFNA or something like that. It is effing hot.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what the F stands for.
The F and A? Yeah.
I think we also need to start getting into Tyler Tries now that we've walked into August here.
Yeah. We do.
Perfect
summer
time.
Content.
It's the perfect.
What are we trying first, your Yaremchuk?
You ever have lox on a bagel? It's been in a man's pocket, your Yaremchuk?
Mm.
You ever try that smoked salmon in a pocket?
I've never been a big seafood guy.
Sushi's up first.
Never had sushi.
You've never had sushi.
The most adventurous I've gotten is like trying a piece of shrimp.
Have you ever had a piece of salmon for real?
No.
Not even cooked?
Nope.
What?
Wow.
Oh my God.
This is going to be fun.
Dude, well, the first 8 years of your life were spent exclusively underground. Is that correct?
Yes. You had revealed that on a podcast earlier in the summer, I believe.
You lived in a buried school bus. Your parents thought it was the end of the world, and they miscalculated, and six years later popped up, and the world hadn't ended, and then you went straight to a Popeye's for a chicken sandwich.
You were growing berries and potatoes in your own feces, like Matt Damon in that movie where he goes to space.
How about Matt Damon, eh? Did you catch that, your M-Trek, while you were
going? Oh, I did, and I really don't want to get into that.
Oh, boy. He's like, story. I know a story that'll resonate with people who are politically sensitive, and then drops that.
Yikes. Read the room. Matt Read Damon. The room, man.
Matt Damon.
Jesus.
It looks like a guy in a professional golf tournament who puts the ball off the green into a water hazard. Read things.
He was Bobby Jones in a movie.
True. He just crossed the divide. Matt Damon's now an old man who doesn't understand, eh?
Yeah,
it happens to all of us.
Yeah. He bought a zoo.
He did buy a zoo.
He went to Mars.
Not by accident, yep.
He was very good at math there also for a while.
Graduated, like, unofficially from Harvard. That's a pretty big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of that movie, does anybody in this podcast really believe that Bennifer 2.0 is happening, or is this just the public relations coup of our lifetime? They're not really back together.
We'll see if we get a script for Geely 2 coming up here soon.
Man, yeah, that's the true test of love right there between them two. That's the litmus test.
Yep. If those two make a movie again, then we'll know it's for real. Otherwise, I might be with you, Wanya.
It's very strange. I don't know if
nobody wanted this reunion tour.
Well, they're just so pap heavy. They're everywhere together. It makes no sense to me.
Yeah, they are. That's a good point. There's a lot of publicity going on here. It does make you think.
Remember, even at the height of the pandemic, all the celebrity news was just Ben Affleck walking a dog with his girlfriend. It was like every single day in the news. Like, there he is again, Ben Affleck, the only celebrity left on Earth. I don't know what he's doing.
Jose Canseco, just speaking of that, like when A-Rod was with J-Lo and Jose Canseco fucking hated him, and he still goes at him like every once in a while on Twitter. And
good
he
morning to everyone except A-Rod and stuff like that.
So like he has a shirt. I'm going to send you guys a picture of the shirt he has that he's currently selling on his shop, Canseco.com. It is him, an old photo of Jose Canseco flexing with J-Lo Photoshop next to him, and then like a pouting A-Rod in the background.
Oh my God.
Put that on the socials. Put that on the socials.
Yeah, I will. I'll toss
that. That's funny.
He's also selling a mask. Oh, that's
fantastic.
Right?
Wow.
That's a good shirt.
Yeah, that'll be up on our socials once this podcast's out. He's also selling a mask, like a face mask that says fuck A-Rod on it. And he has another sub brand called Canseco Premium Juice that he like puts on. He has on like a fucking fanny pack. Like the dude is just totally off the walls. It's so funny.
Speaking of funny and masks, did you see the Russian guy in the Olympics that wore his cat mask as he got his gold medal?
No.
So he was wearing like a mask. He was masked up, but the mask itself was a cat mouth. And they apparently asked if he would kind of take it off for the ceremony because it's ridiculous. And he's like, no. So there he is with his cat mask on. And it looks so funny.
You make Ivan wear a mask. Ivan, pick mask.
Yeah, it's the best. I love it. I'm going to throw that in our group chat here right now.
I have gone down the Jose Canseco Twitter wormhole right now, and this guy is just spitting fire as of late. July 21st, he tweeted, I wonder if aliens drink and do drugs. Maybe I will try dating one. Female alien, of course. He tweeted a photo of a large dog and just said, this is Toby. And then right before that, he tweeted, if anyone knows how Toby and Elliot are doing, please let me know.
What? Man, he's got passions.
You ready to check one time I saw Jose Canseco with the pint, your Amchuk, for real.
Oh, when he was here with like his weird baseball team.
And he was wearing like this super weird blazer with like a bedazzled cross on the back. And his shoulders were so broad he could barely fit through the door of the bathroom.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Oh yeah, man. Everybody'll come to the pint if you just wait long enough.
That's true. All roads lead to the
point. Eventually.
The baseball teams in Edmonton have brought some good stories to the city. Like there's always been like interesting shit happening. I remember one year like the Edmonton Capitals made the final of their league and they had to play like the team that was from Mexico. And,
that was like, the best year.
Six of the players couldn't get across the border for the series. Yeah. So like Edmonton got to like beat the shit out of them because they were missing all their good players because they couldn't get across the border. Fascinating shit. Speaking of other sports teams, Edmonton Elks are back. CFL action's back this weekend. I love a good Elks.
Awesome. Game. Awesome. The weather's going to be great.
No, they didn't.
The show going.
They did no preseason. It starts with the real thing on Saturday. They're taking on the Red Blacks. And the CFL actually announced something when it comes to vaccinations that if you have a game canceled because of a COVID-19 protocol, if your team has a vaccination rate of over 85% and your game is canceled, everyone gets paid. But if your vaccination rate is under 85% and your game gets canceled, no one gets paid, even the vaccinated players.
Oh, you're getting a little peer pressure in here.
And right now, only three of the teams, according to Terry Jones of Post Media, only three of the teams have hit that vaccination threshold. Imagine how fucking pissed you'd be if you're one of the guys who got vaccinated, your game gets canceled, and you don't get your goddamn check. And for those guys in the CFL making the money they do, missing a check is...
It's the thing about the CFL for me is football is obviously an intense sport to play on your joints, especially, and the hits and all of that. And in the CFL, they're doing it for the love of the game, man. I'll tell you, there ain't no $200 million Steph Curry contracts going out in the CFL. Yeah, that's for sure. No,
his 1 year salary would be more than the collective salary cap of the CFL.
Oh yeah!
How demotivating is that, eh?
You're sitting there working out for the $4 million.
I think so. CFL.
Yeah. You're yeah, busting exactly. your hump yeah. trying out for the Tie Cats and 5.3
million
makes more than your league.
Yeah, that's
they can have one Duncan Keith and he plays all positions.
Yeah, yeah. And he's 44 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Basketball's just so crazy, man. It's just so crazy to me how much money those guys make.
No, you're not kidding me. Like, so the Steph Curry thing got announced, and I'm like, holy shit. So I started diving into it a little bit. They're bench players that just easily get more than Connor McDavid.
Baseball's kind of like that too. Like, I remember J.A. Happ when he left Toronto, he signed like a 2-year deal with the Twins for like 12 mil a season. And it was like, ah, there's a good gamble, like short money, like nice move. And I'm like, man, J.A. Happ is like 38 and he's going to make as much money as Connor McDavid in the next couple of years. Like, that's insane. Hockey players are, the word underpaid is a bad word to use. Cause like, come on, they're all millionaires still and all that stuff. But relative to the other sports, hockey players are very, very underpaid. And I guess it speaks to the size of the sport, but.
If you're feeling bad for people that lose money, Tyler, how about Jeff Bezos losing $13.6 billion off his net worth in one day?
Why?
How's he going to get by? How's he going to get by?
Is this all because of the space thing?
Went down by one penny. Is that why?
Yeah, his stock took a hit. They missed their earnings by a fair margin, which was surprising to me. But yeah, the stock took a shit a little bit.
Huh.
Speaking of which, Bag Milk, my conspiracy economic blogs, which I'm so deep on, say that Tesla is going to do a big re-earnings restatement after their next quarter. So govern yourself accordingly.
Oh, I love some good stonk talk.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean? They're going to like it's going to come. They have to
there's some cookery of the bookeries.
Yes.
To do with like deposits and how many vehicles are on deposit and all shit.
Squeeze them.
Yeah. Good luck. Everybody tried to squeeze Elon's got broken hands now. Can't squeeze a diamond.
I'm pretty sure he's selling all the Teslas to people that golf at Lewis Estates, by the way. I was there the other day with a buddy. We hit up the range for a bit, and there was 5-6 Teslas in the parking lot. That's one of my favorite parts about going there is just scoping out all the whips. Awesome.
How's the golf game going? I saw you were using like a putting trainer, and like you're going in, eh?
Yeah, man, putting the work in. I'd say I'm a solid 2 out of 10. You know, I'm getting there. You
better than zero?
Yeah.
Have you played like a full 18 a few times?
No, just did 9. Did 9 a little while ago. And it's the irons are okay. But when you drive, I might as well not use a driver at this point. Mm. It's going somewhere, but not where I want it to. You know,
that's par for the course when it comes to the big dog.
Yep. The big dog wants to eat and I don't have the food for it.
That's the one thing about my game that I've always been very happy about. And especially this year, my driver is my most reliable club. Like it never goes further than like 210 yards, but I know it's going on the fairway like every time consistently. I play the same shape and it just drops in every time down the middle.
Someone paid $600 to golf with us and you're going to hit it 210 for him?
But I'm going to hit it 210 down the middle, which is ideal in a scramble. You let me go first. I drop one in the middle of the fairway, 210 yards up, and everyone else can bomb away.
Yeah, you're not wrong, Corey Pavin.
But if we have to use his driver, we still have a driver in our hands from the approach shot so far back.
Not necessarily. I can hit my 3-wood further than I can hit my driver, but it's the accuracy is way, way off. I take it off my driver. I don't swing as hard as I can. I just go up there and just whoop, little bop, get in the middle of the fairway. And then I'll make up the distance with another club. I'm not good, and I've never pretended to be good. Although I played at Predator Ridge. I played the Ridge course and I shot a career best. It was fucking unreal. I had 4 birdies. I don't think I've even had 4 birdies all year. I had 4 birdies in the round. It was nuts. I was sinking every single fucking putt imaginable. I get to 17, and if I would have just parred the last 2 holes, I would have finished with a 77, and I've never broken 80 before.
Dinking at 210 off the tee?
Yeah, man. Like my approach game was sick. My putting was sick. So on 17, I step up. I'm like, all right, you're Remchuk. 2 bogeys.
Put it in the water on the left.
Hold on. You call yourself your Remchuk?
Yeah, I talk to myself in my head and call myself.
That's a beautiful hole.
Yeah. So 17 on the ridge, I step up and my little slice goes right into the fucking water. And so I go pull out second shot right in the damn water again. I shanked it. So I took a triple on 17 and then I parred 18 magically and I shot an even 80, but that triple on 17 will stick with me for a while. That's haunting.
All right. So you're coming in hot. All right.
I'm coming in hot for the Nation Open. Yeah.
Good, 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 good. I'm excited. We're sold out, by the way, which is fantastic. Thank you everyone for
supporting that. Did you talk about who we're going to be golfing with? You talked about the winner of the auction.
We mentioned their name. You had all the data, so we're just kind of going with it. So you want to tell us more about our winners?
Fanny Pack Freddy on Twitter. That's where that you can find him. He's the winner of our auction. Him and his buddy are going to be golfing with us. Seems like a great guy. Profile picture, Kobe Bryant in an Oilers jersey. Always a beauty move. Seems pretty active on Twitter. Seems like he's a bit of a betting man as well, I think, just based on kind of his tweets and all that. So I think we're going to have a great time with Fanny Pack Freddy and a friend.
Did you run him for outstanding warrants? Did you check that?
Nope. Should I have? I don't know.
No, guy. What's the likelihood a guy calling himself Fanny Pack Freddy is a murderer? 1 in 2, 3, maybe 1 in 3.
You guys told me to do an auction and I said, I've never done that before and I don't know how it'll work. And you just kind of said, you got it, you're M. Chuck. So I did it, and you cannot complain with the outcome when you just throw something.
I feel good about Fanny Pack Freddy. We should get team Fanny Packs.
That'd be a good
stuff
idea.
And full of Nation beer.
Maybe he calls himself Fanny Pack Freddy because he's sick of Fanny Packs and you offend him.
Well, I mean, I'm willing to roll the dice.
Well.
We'll find out who he really is.
All right. We're going to slowly head towards the end of the podcast here. Quickly, though, manscaped.com, my Manscaped razor. I got the Lawnmower 3.0, but the Lawnmower 4.0 is out now, and it looks like a fantastic product. We have a promo code there. It's manscaped.com, and the code is REALLIFE. Gets you 20% off and free shipping. Did we want to wrap with a quick little bit of Big Brother talk? Sure. I'm not caught up.
You're not caught up?
I'm one still
are you watching?
No, I got them all taped, though. I'm going to watch like in the last little bit and be excited for the finale. I'm going to binge midway through the year.
I'm at the episode where Brett just, he's on the block. He didn't win the veto. And at the end of the episode, when the veto wasn't used, he was like, my plan worked perfectly. And everyone was like, whoa, you're insane.
He is so delusional and into himself. It is almost impressive. Can I just get it?
Galaxy brain episode a little bit, Tyler?
His speech, like his conversation with Julie was awkward.
It was the worst. And
every answer was about pumping him up. It was so, so weird.
It was the weirdest thing ever. That guy was just, man, he kept talking about how well his brain's working and shit. It's just like,
oh, he's such a threat and he's physical and he's so smart. And oh God, it was something. And like, normally I'm like, you should keep that guy in the house, but you can't because that guy is an absolute wild card and probably will get into some kind of altercation because of what he says to people.
Mm-hmm. But we're still at the part of Big Brother, though, even without saying anything, is where everybody's still too friendly. How many people got kicked out so far? 3-4, something like that. We need to get more of these people out of here. So then they start getting really conniving and evil.
Yeah. People are going to start turning on the Kings, right?
Absolutely.
Kings are on everyone's radar. So that's going to start happening. But you're right. It's still a little buddy-buddy.
The LA Kings are inside Big Brother?
Yep.
Which players? Yep. Who's there?
Luke Robitaille.
I was going to ask if Luke Robitaille was there.
Yeah, Rob Blake.
Ron Duguay.
Ron Duguay? Mm-hmm. Kelly Rudy?
Marcel Dion. Jim
Ramchak, how are you? You're missing a good season. All these LA Kings, I would have thought you'd been all over this.
I'm just not caught up. I'm two episodes behind.
I'll never forget when we went to the arena in LA and there was another Gretzky statue. That was weird. It's like seeing your dad with his other family and they love him too. You're like, I don't know.
It's
bigger than our statue. Like,
Well, don't let Chalmers know that there's an alternate Gretzky statue that's bigger than ours.
Slightly bigger than ours, too, I think.
It was. And he had, like, longer hair, like 90s Gretzky hair.
Yeah. We got the Cristiano Ronaldo version 1 of the statue. And they got V2, the makeup.
Oh, no.
You have to be somebody to have two statues, though. Three. There's one kidding. In Brantford. And he's not even passed. He's well alive.
We need a recurring segment with Chalmers just called Prick Move, where we just let him spout off for like 3 minutes on like something that pissed him
off.
You
know what? That's a good idea. Write that down. Chalmers homework once a week is to come up with a prick move of the week.
Someone teed off on Chalmers the other day on Twitter and was like, oh, really? Like this, 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 and this, and all the segments you say you're going to do, you never do.
Yeah, like so scathing.
Yeah, and then the construction tips, and then what happened to voicemails? Someone said, I was like, I don't know. Fuck.
Oh, we'll do voicemails. Oh, we probably should have crushed out a voicemail or two today. I'll put out a call for more voicemails. We did that for like a month. Same thing with the listener profiles. We did that for like 8 months.
If you want to listen to a show called Strict Segments, that's an entirely different podcast, and we're not part of it.
Also, someone was coming at me.
Do you have a voicemail?
I didn't check the voicemail since I got back. Completely honest, it slipped my mind. I'll put it back out there, though.
We got a review.
Who's coming at you?
Speaking of last week's podcast, we got a review, fresh one. This one's from a Keith Gretzky.
Oh.
It just says Cliff Poo. He said, disappointed that Cliff Poo trade episode moment did not get brought up during the funny sports names segment. Seriously, a top five real life clip of all time.
Big Milk's internet just shit out.
Well, that was crazy. Odd.
33 more minutes to tell us is needed.
But wow. He gave us like a specific timestamp of like when, like the moment he's talking about in that. And now I'm super interested.
And he says it's a top clip of Nation Life, real life of all time.
Yeah. Episode 220 and at the 43 minute mark. So let's see what we can do here. Cause I might be able to pull it up real quick.
In terms of the funniest moment in the podcast.
Yeah. He just in Keith Gretzky's review, he said episode 220 at the 336 mark.
Do you think it's really Keith Gretzky?
Probably. He loves our pod.
Yeah.
4336. Okay. So just for context, I'm going to start it at like 4320. All right.
For good yet?
On free agency. Because I think they're lining themselves up to do.
Sorry,
to do a big
they
movie.
Traded for who you said to the Panthers for Florida.
Florida.
Oh,
so
sorry.
I don't know who Florida.
They get all of Florida.
So you're on math.
They really want Miami.
You've got COVID.
They got Cliff. They got Cliff so Poo. Cliff Poo from Florida.
Cliff what?
Cliff Poo.
Spell.
P U.
All right, Cliff.
Okay, that's good. We're back to current.
That actually was kind of funny.
Cliff Poo. What? Spell it.
Right. P-U.
Thank you.
It gets deeper. There's layers to that joke.
Yeah, that joke has several chambers within it.
Like, yeah.
Speaking of segments we could start and then stop doing, send us in like your favorite real life moments and we'll go back and revisit them. That might be like a fun way to kill an episode in August.
Yeah.
Anyways, we will get back to voicemails. Don't worry about that. We'll take your off-season questions. And when I say off-season questions, not necessarily like Oilers off-season questions, just like random shit for us to talk about in the off-season because it's August. We could get like 8 podcasts in here and there is like not a lot of hockey to talk about. Bag Milk has informed me that his internet is donezo and he's going back on hold with Telus.
Before you end the show, rearm check.
Yep.
When you hang up, everybody stay on here because I want to tell you the stuff Gregor told me that I'm not allowed to tell anybody, but he told me some stuff and I wanted to tell you guys before the show and I got to tell you so I don't forget.
All right. And on that tease that the listeners will never find out about,
right.
we will get to our post-podcast briefing with Wanye. Shout out to Bag Milk, who also joined for a bit, but his internet didn't want him sticking around here much more often. Shout out to our friends at DoorDash, Twig and Berries, Manscaped, and of course, our title sponsor, the HGA Group. I'm Tyler Rumchuk, back from vacation and very happy about it for Wanye and Jay. You enjoy your week, and we will talk to you on Thursday when we'll have a very special guest.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Real Life Podcast. Don't want to miss any of our nonsense? Hit the subscribe button and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.